Halo, halo, Sacred Icon listeners. We used to do ads for other people, but I decided, why don't we do one for ourselves? Whether you're here listening to us for the first time or you've heard every episode, I'd like to briefly tell you what we're about and how you can support us. We have been doing this podcast since 2019, and with that has come lots of changes. We started as a primarily Halo-only show, but have evolved, combat evolved, over the years to talk about a wide variety of things in the realm of nerd culture. As you can imagine, we've made numerous changes to our platforms, usernames, and emails over the years, so now is the time for me to set things right and give the Covenant back their bomb. You can join our Discord by clicking the link included on our podcast feed. You can also send us an email or a voice message at sacrediconpodcast@gmail.com. We have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/sacredicon, and we no longer use Twitter or X or whatever else the kids are calling it these days. So if you see someone who looks like us there, just know it's not us. Lastly, you can support us on patreon.com/sacredicon and receive a bevy of bonus content. We're so glad you chose us to be the voice in your ear on this particular day and hope you enjoy the episode ahead.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Sacred Icon Podcast. In a potentially big episode, or small one, depending on what we're about to find out as we work our way through this episode, covering the update on Xbox's future. Brian, you want to take it away and tell everyone what we're
doing? Yeah, guys, so just to set the stage here real quick, since the beginning of the year, we heard rumors that Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush were coming to other consoles, which upset some Xbox fans, but for the most part, people didn't care too much. They're like, okay, those are smaller titles. That's not too big of a deal. It's just a way for them to make some more money off those games. And then as time went on, and then eventually culminated in last week, rumors that big games like Starfield, Indiana Jones, Gears of War would be going to PlayStation came up, and a general concerns that Xbox may be going third party fully came up. And it all led to Phil Spencer coming out and saying, "We hear you. And we'll have a business update next week," but he didn't deny any rumors. And for over a week now, we've had no idea what's going on. The heavy theory is that Xbox is going third party in a major way. And just now, right before we hit record on this podcast, the official video went live. It's 22 minutes long, which explains the future of Xbox. Now, for most people listening to this episode, you will have probably already heard the news, either from video game publications or in the Discord or other places. But Josh and I are recording this now. Obviously, by the time this episode is posted, the Xbox news will be an hour old or so, probably. But we are going to live watch it here and react to it. Could be huge banger news that's like, wow, I can't believe this is a moment in history. Could be something really small, and then we look at this episode later and go like, well, that was a silly episode. We have no idea. But what we're about to do is I'm going to say on three that Josh to hit play. Josh and I are going to both watch this, and we're going to be we'll be natural about it. I think we're going to relatively be mostly silent probably for most of this as we take in the information, but we may speak up as it goes on. And then as it concludes, we will talk about what we heard afterwards. So, Josh, if that sounds good to you, when I say three,
let's do it, man.
We're going to hit
play. It's got Sarah Bond, I'm going to get hard eyes, but yeah.
And we're going to, all right, hard eyes for Josh, and we'll see how I'm feeling afterwards. All right, guys, on three, Josh and I will hit play. One, two, three.
Hello, and welcome to the official Xbox podcast. I'm your host, Tina Amini, and we have a very special episode today, as you can probably tell by the fact that I'm joined by Phil, Sarah, and Matt. Welcome.
I'm nervous.
And we're going to talk about some updates at Xbox. We want to talk about game exclusivity. We want to talk about Activision Blizzard, now that they're part of our portfolio, how that might be an impact on Game Pass. And we want to talk about hardware, too, and how all of this fits into the strategy at Xbox. Sure. So where should we start, Phil?
Well, when we originally had planned for the show, starting what back in December, I think we probably would have started with Activision Blizzard, maybe talked a little bit about the exclusivity with some of the news coming up, and then hardware. But we've had some unforeseen news that has come out. So let's just go and tackle the exclusivity question, because I know it's on the minds of a lot of people. We hear from the community, and that's an important input for us. So we made the decision that we're going to take four games to the other consoles, just four games, not a change to our kind of fundamental exclusive strategy. It is We're making these decisions for some specific reasons. We make every decision really with the long-term health of Xbox in mind. And long-term health of Xbox means a growing platform, our games performing, building the best platform for creators, reaching as many players as we can. We're always looking to learn as a leadership team and to grow. And we think this is an interesting point in time for us to use what some of the other platforms have right now to help grow our franchises. So we're going to do that.
So these four titles, what are they? Can you say?
I'm not going to name those games. The teams that are building those games have announced plans that are not too far away.
He's not going to name the games.
As we know, game teams put a lot of energy into their announcements with the partners. So I don't want to take anything away from those teams. So I won't be talking about the titles specifically, but I think when they come out, it'll make sense.
Can we say if either of those titles are Starfield or Indiana Jones?
They are not Starfield or Indiana Jones.
Well, okay. What was the criteria in how the team was thinking about selecting those four titles?
Let me start a little bit outside of that, and then I'll get to the four specific games that we're talking about right
people
now. The fundamental decision driver
Grubb
for any decision that we make, anything we're going to talk about today, is the long-term health of Xbox. That we're running a growing platform that is reaching more players, that our games are having as much success as possible. And I do have a fundamental belief that over the next 5 or 10 years, exclusive games, games that are exclusive to one piece of hardware, are going to be a smaller and smaller part of the game industry. And that's not some great insight, because if you look at the last 10 years and what the biggest games are today, it's a natural place. Whether it's one console and PC, multiple consoles, mobile console and PC, you see big games landing on multiple platforms. And we want to be a great platform for creators that are trying to realize that potential. But now back to the specifics of the question on these four specific titles. We looked at games that are over a year old, so they've been on Xbox and PC for a while. A couple of the games are community-driven games, new games that kind of first iterations of a franchise that have reached their full potential, I'd say, on Xbox and PC. There's always growth. Franchises that we obviously want to continue to invest in. Part of having the ability to continue to invest is that the businesses behind those franchises continue. We think it's important that these service-based games that have communities behind them, that they can have confidence that they're going to exist in the future. So two of them, kind of community-driven games that will end up on other platforms and give us the ability to continue to invest in them. We think that's great for the business and great for the communities, more players to play with. I'd say two of the other games are smaller games that were never really meant to be built as kind of platform exclusives and all the fanfare that goes around that, but games that our teams really wanted to go build, that we love supporting creative endeavors across our studios regardless of size. And as they've realized their full potential on Xbox and PC, we see an opportunity to utilize the other platforms as a place to just drive more business value out of those games, allowing us to invest in maybe future iterations of those, so sequels to those, or just other games like that in our portfolio. And when we don't damage Xbox and we can grow our business using what other platforms have and to help us with that, we're going to do that. And that's really the story behind these four games. And last thing I'll say, looking forward, you know, I think there is an interesting story for us of introducing Xbox franchises to players on other platforms to get them more interested in Xbox. We think there's a good brand value for Xbox there. So four games, no promise beyond that. So if you're on those other platforms and you see these four games coming, please don't take it as some signal that everything's coming. It's not. And we're going to learn.
So when you are thinking about the future and this concept of live service games, games that can benefit from bigger audiences, new audiences, how does that apply to future titles and how you're applying that criteria there?
Yeah, there's really no fundamental change to how we think about exclusivity. We just came out of Developer Direct, which was an awesome show, where we showed great games that are coming to Xbox and PC and cloud, which really makes them accessible to hundreds of millions of people. So it's this kind of We're really focused on.
I'm interested where this goes because if this is truly it, they shouldn't have let the rumors gestate for weeks.
Play the games you want with the people you want.
How are you feeling right now?
When everybody plays, we all win. These have been part of our strategy for years, and we'll continue.
I'll save most of my thoughts to the end.
Our focus is on how do we continue.
I feel like this isn't nearly as bad.
Reaching more players in more places.
But I also feel like the underlying tone is that. Eventually,
Xbox, the hardware platform, Xbox
it will be
as a publisher
what we thought
games,
it was.
And Xbox as a platform
in enough time,
for the
just not now.
Creators.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And then knowing that, how do we think about our first party games and Game Pass?
Yeah, well, to build on what Phil just said, one thing I would add, as you were talking about growth, is just that we've sort of seen this inversion over the last 5 years where it used to be that the platform was the biggest thing.
That's right.
And the games would sort of tuck in. Within the platform today, big games like a Roblox or a Fortnite could actually be bigger than any one platform, and that really has changed the way that we think
Sarah's
about things.
So
in the midst
good.
Of all that, I think
Sarah's
first party
a
can
for
come
Ahsoka
back
Tano.
To sort of some core principles.
She would make
first,
a great
that
one.
All of our games will be on the Xbox platform. Second, all of our games will go into Game Pass on day one. And third, we know that Game Pass will only be available on Xbox. So those are sort of starting points for us. As Phil mentioned, there are games today that you can play that only can be found on Xbox. And at the same time, we want to bring more of our games to more players. So we're going to continue to look at that. Kind of moving aside, though, from some of those and thinking more about what does it really mean for the player, to me, the two key things are cross-play and cross-save. Those things allow us to deliver on the promise of Xbox, which is play with your friends where they are, play on the devices you want, play the games you want. So that is really only possible at a practical level when you know that your saves and your player are going to be able to move across all those parts. So not all of our games today are necessarily built to take advantage of that. There still will be some games that don't. As we bring more teams into the Xbox family, there's some catch up to do as we get there. But that cross-play, cross-save is like so fundamental to what we're doing, and I think is something that we as first party
I think it makes a lot of sense.
And
doesn't surprise that many people that live service type games.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things like
you said. Platforms,
all
like,
of our
like
games
Thieves,
are always
you know?
In Game Pass, and so I'm excited to announce, you know, with the coming together that we had with Activision Blizzard King, that Activision and Blizzard games are coming to Game Pass. Starting with Diablo 4 on March 28th, which I'm super excited to share
Diablo
today.
Diablo 4 coming to Game Pass.
And
you
it's
can play
all
that for
part
free.
Of our commitment to make Xbox, the Xbox experience, and the games
It'd
that
be
we
nice
build
to get
as
those
widely
retroactive,
available as
COD
possible.
Titles on
so
there.
Now the 34 right. million Game Pass members can all enjoy the fantastic experience of Diablo 4.
Amazing. Can we come back to the point, Phil, you mentioned at the top, this isn't really a change in strategy for us. Can you recap for me how it isn't?
Yeah, and I thought... Both Matt and Sarah did a really nice job of talking about what we're doing on Xbox, mm-hmm. where we're going. You know, if you take a platform feature like Xbox Play Anywhere, which has been a promise that we've made on our first party games, that you can buy our game once, you're going to get play across Xbox and Windows. I think we're the only platform that mm-hmm. does this. That makes it possible for you not only to play with your friends wherever they are, but to know that you actually have multiple entitlements to the games. I think that's a technology I'd love to see apply to more platforms. But it is this view that people are going to play Xbox in multiple places, whether it's play the games you want with the people you want, anywhere you want, whether it's content, community, and cloud, whether it's when everybody plays, we all win. Like we've had different taglines, different strategy. Kind of words that we've used, but always with this view that Xbox is a platform for creators who want to reach the most players. Our investments in xCloud, our investments in franchises like Minecraft and now Call of Duty and other large franchises so that we learn how to build those. This has been a strategy that we've been on for, I'd say, a decade. It's not about one device. It's not about games in service of a device. But rather, the devices that people want to play on should be in service of making the games as big and popular as they possibly could be. Because really, a healthy creator community on Xbox, a healthy creator community in gaming all up, is the thing that all of us as game players should be voting for, because that's the thing that will lead to the best long-term success and growth in this industry.
And my understanding, just from listening and learning from you three over the past few weeks, just understanding what's happening with Xbox, is that we see trends with player behavior where people are playing on multiple devices. Mm-hmm. That is the reality. And we have put some games out on multiple platforms before. So my understanding is that that's been good for players. How does that come back to the business with all of that in mind?
Yeah, as you said, we have shipped games on other platforms. In fact, realistically, if you look with the addition of Activision and Blizzard and ZeniMax, we're one of the largest game publishers on PlayStation. We're one of the largest publishers on the Nintendo Switch, especially when you put Minecraft into the equation as well. And now we're one of the largest publishers on mobile platforms as well. And that's not something that we want to back away from. We want to continue to be building great games that millions
and millions
of people
can love. That makes
a lot of sense.
That's not a surprise to me,
and that they can play those games where they want to go play. But we do understand the business success that Xbox has to have. Us as leaders in this business, the system today, the system that all companies that we play video games from, is a world of you got to be growing your business. Growth in our Xbox business is critical to the long-term health of Xbox. Many people know I've been on Xbox for over 20 years. And I want to make sure Xbox is in the best position for the next 20 years. That means healthy player community, healthy creator community, and healthy business. So when we look at opportunities to allow more people to play, more people engage, more people to buy, more people to subscribe, it's all about putting Xbox in the best position. And our hardware is a critical component of that. The absolute best experience somebody has on Xbox is hardware that your team builds, and that people play on. But that's not going to be everybody. We fully accepted that we're going to have Xbox players across all kinds of devices.
So I think a lot of people think about 2023 as this incredible year for gaming. And in a lot of ways, it was. There were some really amazing releases that I think we all enjoyed. But what were the signals behind the scenes that maybe indicated how we wanted to look at the future of Xbox and how we kind of keep up with the industry?
Yeah, such a good question. And I think it's, as people who care about the industry, which I assume is people who are watching this, it was an amazing year. Some great launches, some of the games that I think will stand the test of time and people will be talking about a decade from now. But
like
it's an industry that didn't really grow. And what happens when an industry doesn't grow? You end up with some job eliminations, which we had. We had even our own hard decisions to make about building a sustainable business for ourselves. But in no way were we alone in that. When you think about a healthy industry, I want players who believe that they will find the best games on the platforms that they love. I want people who invest their careers in working here to feel like this is a place that they can be successful. And that really is down to being part of an industry that is growing. If you listen to Lisa Su, the AMD CEO, she'll say that AMD-powered consoles are likely to decline in 2024. I think there's an amazing set of games coming in 2024, but if we don't get to growing as an industry, the industry will struggle. And today there's really two choices on how do you grow the industry. Do you say, I have a fixed number of players, the players that we have today, and do I find new ways to monetize those players to get more money from the players that I have? Or do you think about how do I expand the business I have by finding new players and adding those to the base of players that already play? Our focus on Xbox for the last decade has really been on that latter point of how do we make sure Xbox is growing, growing for our players, growing for our creators, so those people are finding success on our platform, which will grow the Xbox business and put Xbox in a position to be very strong for years and decades to come.
Matt, earlier you were talking about these growing gaming communities, how they're incredibly large and comparable on such a different level when we think about console audiences. Like you mentioned Roblox, you mentioned Fortnite. So how are we, we're obviously thinking about our responsibility, our hardware responsibility is supporting the growth of gaming communities. How has that actually shown up for the players? Are there other games we can speak to from our portfolio?
Well, as Phil mentioned, I mean, two of the biggest ones for us, Call of Duty and Minecraft, I mean, they are driven just from the bottom up by the communities of people that play those games, which is so great. Think about it, for the player community, it comes down to where are the friends, where are the people you play with, and then equally important is where have you built up your library of games, right? Where's the where have you invested? Where's that library? I think those two things probably are some of the biggest influences on where people choose to play and what devices they choose to play.
Yeah.
When we think about, on the other side, the developer side, just any game developer wants their game to find the biggest audience possible. That's just the nature of building a game. You want people to enjoy and participate in what you've made. And I think we're in a unique position.
One of those four games is definitely Blade.
Because
Blade was announced and never announced as an Xbox exclusive.
First-party games
that's absolutely coming to other consoles. And that's probably how they got the deal with Marvel to make Blade.
Your progression, your achievements, all of that. And I think that's really what has contributed to the momentum behind some of these communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you look at, just step back and you look at the history of the industry, we've move from a place where it used to be that someone built and launched a game to accelerate hardware to actually the things we do with our hardware and with our platform are all in service of making those games bigger. And we think about that across all of the investments we make, the consoles we build, the investments we do with things like crossplay, cross progression, the things that we're doing with cloud. How do we actually give more options to game creators so they can have the greatest success? I think one of the fun recent examples about this is actually Pal World. You know, Pal World was able to launch. They were a game preview. They launched in Game Pass. They also simultaneously launched in Steam. And through the combination of those things, you know, Pocket Pair was able to have this outsized success. Amazing. And it was the largest third-party Game Pass launch ever.
That's what I tell Erica.
And it's all
I have
because
all the time,
we give creators options on how they can launch their games. We've got subscription. We've got retail. We've got free-to-play. We've got game preview. We have the consoles, we have our experience on PC, and they can access all of those things. And when we step back and we just look at the performance of our platform all up, we know it's working. We're at the highest level of users on console, the highest level of users on PC, the highest level of users on cloud ever. We have double-digit growth rate on PC and cloud, places where we're enabling creators to actually reach new players beyond the console ecosystem. And that's why we're leaning into it and doing more, because we see all those signals.
So we're talking about the role that hardware
plays for creators,
for the
games, and those
communities.
What about the role
that hardware
plays
for us as a business?
That's that sweet PR speak.
When we look at our hardware, it really is, and Phil said this earlier, it's where you get like the most flagship seminal experience of Xbox. And it also represents a developer target. Our developers can build the specs of our hardware, and we invest to make sure they know when they do that, that the games are going to grow great on our hardware, but they're also going to be able to be accessed across any screen, because of all the other investments we make. So we're giving them an easy way to access as many players as possible. And we actually have more creators right now building for Xbox than ever before, thousands of them, by nature of those investments. And we got more to come. There's some exciting stuff coming out in hardware that we're going to share this holiday. And we're also invested
in the
next generation.
We already saw it's the digital cylinder console that leaked.
What we're really focused on there is delivering the largest technical leap you will have ever seen in a hardware generation, which makes it better for players and better for creators and the visions that they're building.
And then when we're talking about hardware, too, there's these other considerations that are really important to our community, probably to each one of ourselves as well. When you talk about library, because I want to dig in on that a little bit more, you know, as we talk about cloud in the wider entertainment industry, there's conversations about streaming. How is that impacting how I own my content that I've invested in? So what can we say about our stance around game preservation?
Yeah, you know, one of the highlights for me of being in this position was getting to stand on stage when we announced back compat coming to Xbox One. Like, it was fantastic. People were reading the teleprompter before I could read it. I'm a slow reader. And just feeling the energy in the auditorium as we were saying that, and online. You know, one of the cues I think us as being part of Microsoft take is looking at Windows and how Windows over decades has maintained software compatibility with things that are built on it. Like, I can still go back and play some of the games that I love playing on Windows from decades ago, and it will still run. And we try to bring that same view to consoles. It's harder in console because the line between what the hardware is and what the game is in consoles is traditionally, it's tighter, which makes compatibility, you end up doing these
like
generational
your pants,
compatibilities that we've built. But I will say compatibility, the ability to not
What's
only
shirt
play
say,
games,
Brian?
But my saves are still there.
Xbox
with our cloud
better together.
Systems to try to keep the services up as long as we can so that people can play is a tenet of what we are as Xbox. It's at our foundation. And when we look at future hardware generations and what we're going to support, making sure that we respect, which is the word I use, respect the investments that people have made in Xbox going forward is fundamental. And the fact that you get entitlements when you buy a game from us on both Windows and Xbox also means you have the ability to play that game across a multitude of devices, which I think furthers the compatibility of the games that you own. Mm-hmm.
Can we go back to what Xbox stands for today? I think we've pretty much covered all of the elements, but if you could break it down for me.
You know, when you play on Xbox, what we're saying is you're playing on a platform where you know the biggest games in the world are always going to be. You're playing on a platform where you get to access
Game Pass. I don't see Remake or Rebirth.
And all of the games from our incredible range of studios will always launch in Game Pass day one. And you're playing on a platform that's dedicated to you, like player-first features, cross-play, cross-save, cross-progression, backwards compatibility.
Cross-examination.
Being able to play your games in your library anywhere you want because of the investments that we make in cloud gaming. And so you're playing somewhere where you're investing and you know
okay,
you get to take the games forward with you and across all of the screens where you are.
Across.
And I think most importantly, Xbox is a place where you know when you're investing in Xbox, you're investing somewhere that is dedicated to making games more successful and creators more successful so that they can invest more to bring even better experiences to you all of the time.
Yeah, just that investment in the studios is so, and we feel that as part of first party with the platform proximity. You know, it's kind of amazing
Sarah got
now
that
to
alien
look
in
out
her head from Men in
across
Black,
all
like
the studios we've got,
script.
And just be reminded that we're now one of the biggest development organizations in the industry. What does that mean for players? It means that the biggest games are going to continue to come to Xbox. And this 2024, the year coming up, we've got more than 10 major releases coming up. Great stuff. Hellblade 2. We've got Diablo expansion. We've got Avowed, Ara, the Indiana Jones game. Mm-hmm. And there's more in development, which I think we're going to be able to share more about at our June showcase coming up pretty soon.
Well, I guess I should get ready on that show. Well, thank you all for showing up on the podcast today, and we'll see the rest of you this June.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tina.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, that is the end of the Xbox business update. Man, Josh, do you want to go first or do you want me to?
Go ahead.
You sure?
Get on that soapbox, man. Get your thoughts out.
Well, it's I
air
feel like it's something,
plenty.
I feel like it's something we're going to talk through here. I got so many angles, but I guess I just need to just hit the ground running. This seems way tamer than anyone expected. Everything they said makes a lot of sense. Most of what they said, I feel like I already knew. Obviously, like the four games that are going to be coming to other platforms, by which they most likely mean, you know, PS5 and Switch or one or the other. That's the new information to me, is the four games. Like, obviously, we've heard the leaks, but the new information coming directly from Xbox is there's going to be four titles that are going to be released on a PlayStation 5 / Switch, but they won't tell us what those titles are. A lot of what they said, though, just makes sense and is something I really felt like I already knew. We knew Call of Duty was going to stay on all platforms, and it was going to come to Switch because they made that agreement in court to be able to acquire Activision Blizzard that it's going to stay on PlayStation, they're going to bring it to Switch. So we knew Call of Duty was going to be multi-platform, we knew Minecraft already was, and it was going to stay that way. We knew that Diablo and a lot of those other games, like Spyro, Crash, are already multi-platform because they've acquired, you know, Activision Blizzard or ZeniMax as a Bethesda as like a publisher. So, I mean, just the Dishonored games, you know, Wolfenstein, all that stuff is already on PlayStation / Switch, even though Xbox owns it because they acquired it. So them saying that they want to keep the business healthy and keep things on other platforms where it makes sense, bring things over where a community can go with it. I mean, I think what's very clear here is that Sea of Thieves and likely Hi-Fi Rush are coming to other platforms. Well, I don't even know if it's likely. I think it's a fact because we have seen leaked assets of Switch and PlayStation branded stuff in those games. So Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush is pretty much most likely coming here. The reason Phil probably wouldn't talk about them is that those games are likely to show up in a Nintendo Direct / a PlayStation thing, and it's not their time to announce that because obviously that announcement here wouldn't do the same numbers or get the same viewership as an official event. Because like Phil said in this video, this is an Xbox business podcast event. This is probably something that only the hardcore enthusiasts are watching right now. Most people are normal and not paying attention to this. So ultimately, I guess I'm left scratching my head a little bit why they let rumors, blow up and build for a week and a half, because I feel like that was just horrible, horrible PR for Xbox for a week and a half. I feel like people out in the open are saying, yeah, Xbox is going third party, or, oh, hey, you can just get all your games on PlayStation. I mean, I even listen to big prestigious podcasts like Kind of Funny or Sacred Symbols, where they said, hey, they talked about realistically, like, just playing on PlayStation and playing their Halo on PlayStation, playing their Gears on PlayStation. And that's the kind of stuff that circulated for over a week. So I don't understand what the benefit was here. Now, I'm fully aware that it's professional and smart for companies to not respond to rumors, right? Like, if you responded to every rumor that came out, then any person who had any credibility could be like, oh, I heard that Xbox is going to make a yoga pad controller, and then just then Xbox is going to have to come out and say, that's not true. Or, I heard Gears 5 is getting remastered, and they just have to come out and say it. So it's smart to not respond to every rumor, but this rumor was corroborated by many credible people several times for a week and a half, and it caused distress, and it caused people to jump to conclusions like losing their game library or Microsoft not making consoles anymore. I don't see what the benefit was of them letting that gestate for so long. I guess to pass it over to you, Josh, and I'm sure there's plenty more I can say, is we know now officially from Xbox 4 exclusives are going other places. And we know that they are willing to do this in the future if they feel it's necessary to the health of Xbox or to the growth of those development studios. I think, and they alluded at the beginning that you see the landscape changing and that games are being built up with these communities and games are going to more places. I do think we're at the beginning, and to some extent, we were at the beginning a couple years ago. I think we are at the beginning of games going to more platforms, and I think I could see a future still where major titles like a Starfield or Indiana Jones, which they coincidentally called out specifically here as not going to other platforms, which I much appreciate because I feel like it's very unlike Xbox to be specific and give us a straight answer. And they gave us a straight answer, and they said Starfield and Indiana Jones is not coming to rival platforms. But I do feel like the seeds are planted here for anything to happen eventually. I think a lot of the concerns people had are going to be things that actually happen in time. It's just not right now. And I don't know. I guess I'm just shocked, Josh, at how little they had to say here and how they let those rumors gestate. What do you think? You're going to bring more thoughts out in me. Go ahead, Josh.
I think the reason they did it, why they ignored the rumors and stuff was actually pretty brilliant now in hindsight. I feel like the reason you do that is because it sounded so much worse than the news that we actually got of what's happening.
True.
So then everyone's eyes are going to be turning to this event, increasing the numbers, bumping them up and everything, because people are going to be tuning into this, right? And at the same time, since you have your answer already, you know what you're doing, your strategy of what you're going to be announcing on this thing, it's pre-recorded. You obviously know those questions are like pre-rehearsed to some extent. You do that, so then that way, now that all this stuff has come out preceding it, all these rumors, a completely different conversation happens. So now the conversation is more like, wow, that was kind of a nothing burger, or that wasn't as bad as it seemed, or this doesn't seem to be as big of a deal, or, oh, I'm so relieved. Whereas the conversation, had none of those rumors came out, would have been like, oh, holy shit, Xbox putting their games on other platforms. Now everyone's feeling more relieved and like this wasn't really as big of a deal as we thought. So a different conversation happened to, I think, their benefit. That's awesome for them. That's awesome. I think this is like, in some ways, it was a nothing burger. Pretty boring, but I'm relieved at the same time. The way Phil described it sounded like a Trojan horse to me, the way he described sort of like kind of opening them up, still like putting some of these games on other platforms, but in order to sort of bring these people back, you know, casting out the bait of, hey, here's what's on our console. You don't have to go buy our console to play some of these games. You could try them out on the console that you may already own. If you like it, that's a taste of more of what we got on Xbox. Come check us out. So at this point, especially when hardware sales, it's been the big talking point, is down, I don't blame them for this strategy. I'm definitely with you, Brian. I see this as like the first domino potentially falling. I mean, everything's going to be a reaction as to how this goes initially, which is why I think they not only haven't announced those games, but also that it's only four. And it's not some of their biggest ones. They don't want to scare anybody. They don't want to worry anybody. But it's testing the market, too, to see how this goes. Because if for some reason this doesn't go well, which I don't see how, then they just don't attempt it further. But I think once you kind of cross this line, you don't really go back on something like this. So yeah. I think it makes sense. You're opening up the chance for more profits with some of these franchises. And he kind of hinted at it too, but he mentioned like a lot of these like sequels, franchises that they have, you know, in order to kind of maybe continue those in some ways. I mean, you want to maybe put those out, like the Gears rumor that you heard, if that turns out to be true. I mean, that can get more people interested in the player base, rejuvenate that, and maybe give Xbox a reason to pump more money into those sequels, or at least get a better gauge. So I think it makes sense to me, and I am ultimately really relieved. But even though I love all of them, Xbox, Nintendo, PlayStation, I'm happy that Xbox isn't going the way the rumors seemed, because that felt like the beginning of the end. And we had a conversation off air where we kind of talked about our own thoughts about it. But I said on there, I said on the phone call, like, you have to have a passion to survive how unpredictable and unreliable the game industry is, because it is like the most reliable, unreliable industry out there. Things are constantly changing. Nothing stays the same. So it doesn't surprise me, but at the same time, I can see why people were getting so upset. Now it just, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but that's reconditioning that the rumors got me in that headspace of. Now I'm relieved. When they said four games, he said not going to announce them yet, and then he said not Starfield, not Indiana Jones, I'm like, that's all I needed to hear. I'm out. Yep. The rest of it was just boring PR speak fluff. You know, I just stayed because I'm here with you, buddy, and interested in seeing Sarah Bond and the little alien in her brain. The way she talked, dude, I'm just like, oh my God. Is someone in your ear telling you what to say? Like, it sounds so inorganic compared to
what she's like, DEF CON 1 over what'd you say?
Yeah. But overall, I mean, I liked. I mean, there's still a bunch to unpack, but I mean, I'm fine with where it's at. That sounds okay to me.
Don't I think so. I have two things to, in response to what you said. One, I will say, I think Xbox coming out of this video feels stronger than they did. Obviously, before the rumors were quelled. I think that's the right word. Quelled. I'm not sure. Quelled. Maybe. Yeah. Quelled. But they almost seem stronger in general to me, which I think people know me well enough to know I'm not an Xbox fanboy, so it's not me saying like, oh, Xbox is super great now. I think they look stronger here because you see that they had that amazing Xbox Developer Direct where they announced Indiana Jones and Avowed and all that stuff, which everyone loved. Then these rumors come out a few weeks later, which seem awful. Then they come back here. They sit quietly and they don't freak out. They sit quietly and they come back here and they go, okay, guys, you heard some rumors. They're mostly not true. Starfield, Indiana Jones, that's staying on Xbox. We got four games in mind. They're going to go over to other platforms. And we're still committed to this big year we have going forward. 2024 is a big year for our games. We're doing cloud, crossplay, PC, all this stuff. They look stronger to me now. Like, this is actually a surprise for me from Xbox, because I always see Xbox, at least I have in the last decade, as a reactive company. It's always reacting to the things that's going on around them, and they're not really being proactive.
Yeah, that's true.
But to me, this business update here seemed like confidence to me. It didn't seem reactive. It seemed like a, hey, we've had a plan for a while now. It includes new studios that we've acquired. It includes new IP. It includes cloud, Game Pass, and some new strategy. And we know what we're doing, and we're confident in what we're doing. We already gave you a great direct. And despite everyone having rumors on what was going on about 10 days ago, we decided that we were going to wait till we were ready. Which, to be fair, as Phil said, they weren't planning on doing this right now. They were planning on doing this, I think, in spring or something like that. But they did take like 10 full days or whatever, just quietly saying nothing's going on. And then they put this out, and they're confident, and they weren't... if they came out here and been like, yeah, guys, Starfield, Indiana Jones, you know, can't really make money if we don't put them over there. Avowed, yeah, it's going. I think we might get Halo.
Then you mind if I go off that real quick?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Josh. Yeah.
Well, I think you make a great point in being proactive versus the opposite. You know, I think that's on the money because you look at how much he was talking about that moment where he's saying how, you know, there's two different sides of it. And there's one that's like, can we just, you know, we just focus on taking the fan base we got, keeping them as they are, trying to deliver more ways to sort of monetize those players and get more money out of them.
No, we gave
or do we want to like cast a bigger net and try to like go for people that maybe aren't necessarily bought into the ecosystem yet? It makes complete sense. What that is saying to me is Xbox is at a point where they had a good year for games. The games that have been talked about for so long, they're finally here. They're finally like on their way. They're coming. There's not only games that have come out, there's now games that are coming out, and there's games that are going to be able, we can look forward to coming out after these ones that are coming out. So they're finally in a good place where I think they've wanted to be for like the last 10 years. So what's the next step? Rather than just coast on that and try to like let that be your success, cast the bigger net and say, let's Trojan horse some of these games on other consoles. So we're being proactive, trying a brand new idea that no one else is doing and seeing how this goes and testing the waters with something small, being four games, not to worry the Xbox community, but just trying to bring in more people into the Xbox community, the ecosystem, all that type of stuff. That's what this is saying to me. And I mean, that doesn't really sound bad. And I also don't blame them. I mean, it could end up becoming what we talked about, what the rumors, you know, are like spelled out someday. Mm-hmm. But that might be a long time. And there would be a lot of growth when it comes to conditioning, of getting used to that, of acclimating to that business approach.
Yeah.
If we get to that point, this isn't like a cold turkey, like change overnight type of thing.
I want to jump off that when you're done, Josh. Go ahead.
I'll just sum this up. But the fact that it seems like it's a baby step of what could potentially be the future, but isn't necessarily written in stone, doesn't sound that bad to me. And I would rather have this scenario than have them do what was originally being talked about. So, I mean, I'm pretty happy with where that's at. It's the lesser of two evils, and it really doesn't sound bad to me.
They even announced Diablo 4 coming to Game Pass in here.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't care.
It's cool. I would consider, because I don't have any really interest in buying Diablo 4, but I also don't subscribe to Game Pass, but I would potentially be interested in subscribing to try that game out, because I've been a Diablo fan in my life. I just didn't really care for three.
No, it is a very cool thing. I'm just peeping and poo-pooing.
But the second big thing I wanted to touch on was I do think the wild speculation I never at any point thought that Xbox hardware was going away, and I never thought at any point we were going to lose our digital libraries. That's not something I ever at any point thought. I did think there was a definite possibility that they could bring, you know, Starfield, Indiana Jones, all that stuff to PlayStation. They could end up bringing all their games to PlayStation, maybe Halo, Gears one day. And I think the wild speculation had a lot of people thinking that, but I do think that still is more likely than not in time. Just look at it this way, guys. You had the Xbox that was already publishing Minecraft. What was the other game they published before even all these acquisitions? There was Minecraft and one other game I remember that was published on PlayStation and stuff. But anyways, they end up getting ZeniMax. So now you have ZeniMax games that are already over there, are known Xbox games published on other platforms. You have Activision coming over. We're going to eventually start seeing... We already see it with Minecraft or whatever, but we're going to eventually start seeing Microsoft Game Studios as a splash screen on games that we're booting up on our PlayStations, on games that we're booting up on our Switches. And that's going to become more and more prevalent over the years. Every Call of Duty release, you're going to see Microsoft's name on there, potentially Xbox branding on there. You're going to see that with further Minecraft going forward. Maybe there's an Activision game in development right now. For all we know, maybe there's a Crash Bandicoot in development right now. Crash Bandicoot could very likely be a title that would go to PlayStation and Switch, whereas Fable would not. So over the years, we are going to get so accustomed to seeing Xbox as this giant third-party arm, which that's not so much a look, they've went third party. It's look, they've acquired two of the biggest third party arms out there, Activision Blizzard and Bethesda. We're going to get so used to seeing them as a third-party arm, used to seeing them as on their splash studios or their splash screen on PlayStation, Switch. We're seeing them on PC, cloud, mobile. Obviously, Phil mentioned mobile. They got King now, which was part of a Activision Blizzard, so they're one of the biggest mobile publishers. We're going to see Xbox as a third-party publisher so much, and we're going to be so inundated with it for years, and they're going to do some titles on a case-by-case basis, like these four titles, that's going to continue to go on for so long, you know, 3, 5, 10, 12, 15 years, it really won't be, it could be a situation where a Halo or a Gears comes to PlayStation or Switch, and it doesn't really shake the foundations of the industry anymore, because we've seen Xbox be everywhere for so long with so many games. And that's only going to increase as time goes on, because they own Activision Blizzard and Bethesda and stuff now. So I do think the future is there, where we're going to be playing a Gears or a Halo or whatever, or a Starfield on PlayStation, on Switch. I just don't think it's one we have to worry about right now. But the thing that's interesting is, I think if you and me, Josh, or many, many other people had got in on this conversation right now 2 months ago, before any of these rumors came out, I think a lot of us reasonable gaming people who have knowledge of the industry, you know, what I mean by knowledge of the industry is we're not mainstream, who could keep up on this stuff. I think even in December, you and me could have been like, I could have been like, Josh, do you think we could see, like, you know, more Xbox titles, you know, eventually getting on PlayStation, you know, 10, 15 years from now? I think we both would have been like, yeah, absolutely, because that's kind of a foregone conclusion of the direction of the industry and what they own. It's just, this seemed like a, because of rumors and speculation, this seemed like a, oh, it's all happening, and it's happening right now. And it also upset us, right? Because we're like, Microsoft, you spent so long building up these studios and this IP, we thought you were finally going to deliver. Like, you know, 2023 was kind of that with Hi-Fi Rush and Redfall at Starfield and Forza. And this year was going to be, you know, you got the Ark game, you got the Visions of Mana that was co-opted with them marketing, you have Avowed, you have Hellblade, you have Indiana Jones. We're like, we're finally getting their Xbox, and we thought they were just giving it all up without even trying, but that's very clear not what they were doing here. But I do think it's reflective of, while the heaviest rumor, which was like Xbox out of first party, Xbox not making consoles, that was bullshit. That was never going to happen. But I do think pretty much everything under that is something that we're going to see. It's a symptom of what's happening right now. We're going to see it eventually. Phil said Indiana Jones and Starfield aren't it. I don't think he's lying. I think that's the truth. They're not coming. But I don't think that means that we will never see Starfield and Indiana Jones on another platform, because he didn't promise in perpetuity on a written paper in front of a legal court team. This could easily happen years from now, 5, 10 years from now, which, of course, it wouldn't matter as much then.
Never say never.
Phil Spencer probably won't even be in this business in 10 years, maybe 5, but probably not in 10. It could be someone else. So, as far as the four titles go, I think it's pretty much dead to rights that Sea of Thieves and Hi-Fi Rush, because we've seen that there's in-game assets for PlayStation and Switch. I would say one other title for sure is Blade, because Blade was a huge Xbox announcement that came earlier this year and sparked conversation across the industry about, why is Xbox and their teams showing off a Blade announcement and never establishing that it's exclusive? Well, it's probably because they made a deal with Marvel to have, what's the studio off the top of my head? Studio that makes Dishonored, Josh. Arcane.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Arcane. They probably made this deal with Marvel to do a Blade game, but Marvel didn't want to limit Blade to the 20-some million, 30 million consoles and players on Xbox. So Blade's most certainly probably one of those titles, and that's also why Phil didn't want to announce it now. I'm sure we're going to get Hi-Fi Rush at probably, and maybe Sea of Thieves at a Nintendo Direct. We're going to see Blade in a future reveal say that it's coming to all platforms. I'm not sure what that fourth game would be. I think things like Avowed, which he didn't mention here, or Fable, I think those are pretty safe as Xbox only. But yeah, ultimately, this was, on one hand, it was way overblown, but that's, like I've kind of already said, that's kind of twofold. It was extremely overblown in the getting out of the console market, Xbox is done. But I think any reasonable people didn't really think that was going to be it. And then there's the lower level, which it was overblown, which is kind of where I hung my hat, but I also said, you know, none of this is real till rumor. But I thought, Starfield, Indiana Jones, I thought that was a very real possibility. That was overblown. But I think that overblown overblown statement or thought or rumor is indicative of where we're heading. So I do think that's going to, in a sense, still happen. But this was a great business update. I think it shows strength from Xbox. I think it shows some confidence that they're not reactive. They're And they're kind of being more proactive here. And the developer direct earlier was great. I think we have a great year of games ahead. I think the industry is so much better for having Xbox in it. I think it's more exciting going into this year of gaming, knowing that Xbox is here to stay and doing this. Yeah, Josh, that's kind of what I have to say. What do you think? I mean, just
well, I'm going to play a little Xbox Wheel of Fortune to kind of go off a little bit what you were talking about. I think this year at the conference, whatever you want to call it, I think we finally do see the announcement of the Gears of War collection, because I would look for that a singular Gears game to be what would go over on PlayStation or Switch.
Absolutely.
So
Huge multiplayer player base.
That's been something that's been rumored to be in the works for years, and for some reason Jez Corden loves to deny that's happening, but I've seen that even pop up again. And hey, maybe I end up completely dead wrong. What do I know? But that's been talked about the last, like, at least 3 years.
You're right.
And I've seen that pop up again recently, and you saw, I mean, a Gears collection specifically I saw pop up, and then also with the recent speculation going into this stuff, there was talk about Gears maybe going over. So you don't want a singular Gears game. You would want a collection, right? How inviting is it for other people on consoles to play an entire collection of that, marathon the entire series, and then go, oh shit, what's their other big franchise? Halo, I know about that. Or Gears 6 is only on
Xbox.
100%. So again, Trojan horse it. On top of that, it's been a while since they put out a game. Gears 5 came out in 2019. Gears 6, you want to hype up.
So, you're right, Josh. It was
2019, yeah.
You're right.
But like you said, I mean, maybe they'll have Gears 6 be exclusive to Xbox, but put out that collection on other consoles, get people excited, get the cross-play with the multiplayer going on. You can do all that kind of stuff.
And they're making money over there. Another thing they said we didn't touch on is Game Pass is only Xbox. Game Pass is only on Xbox. So they get to make money off the collection and then bring people over. Sorry.
100%. No, you're all right. But you even have like Netflix working on a Gears of War movie. So seems like a big time for Gears over. Like, if you're looking at their two big franchise exclusives, Gears and Halo, which one's got more momentum? Like, which one's up to bat? It's Gears over Halo. Halo's just still kicking along, kind of. But you got Gears that people have been ready to see more new stuff from. So I would look for that to be on the bingo card for this year's announcements and in terms of going to different consoles. But on the other hand, I'll just say, like, I mean, on the positives, on the nice side, yeah, this was awesome. I feel relieved. I feel very relieved in a way. Now, I wasn't super worried because I'm not playing games this much. And, you know, there's that part of me that thought, oh, man, look, there's always, never say never, there's always things like Starfield and Indiana Jones going to other consoles. But there was the other part of me that said, look, you're telling me that overnight, somehow, even if it was a couple months or a year, let's say, but after all these acquisitions and the money they've spent, they're suddenly going to put these on other consoles. And, you know, again, that's a whole spiral of like, well, yeah, you spend that much money, don't we? You want to cast a bigger net for profits, all that stuff. So I get that conversation, but I didn't do too much speculating myself because I thought I'll wait to see what they say. I don't want to get in over my head or get myself stressed out. But there were, you know, I was like mentally preparing myself for the worst. So I think that's why I'm pleased as punch. On the other side, who gives a shit? I don't care about all this. This was so boring. Like nothing new. I mean, the first like 5-10 minutes offered you the meat and potatoes of information that you wanted. The four games that are not going to be named. And, you know, I think Sarah later said, you know, about the hardware announcements that they're excited about coming near the end of the year. Diablo 4, Game Pass. Like, that's it. I'm like, who cares? No wonder why this was an official Xbox podcast thing. I even saw the comments when I went into the video before we started watching. People were like, this is how they do it, and this is not live. And I know that was like a genuine like question prior to things, but now we know why. It's like, I mean, if you're someone who doesn't read up on all the industry and behind the scenes rumors and shit, and you're just watching the official stuff that comes out, yeah, it's not that big of a deal. It was like 20 minutes of like, well, 5 minutes of announcements. The rest was like 15 minutes of nothing burger stuff. So like, who gives a shit? Like, I mean, it's fun to talk about. It's kind of a relief, you know, for sure. But like, on the other hand, like, I don't know. I get, again, in the mindset of this industry being like very unreliable, I don't care for this kind of news. Like, it's good. It's good. I'm just saying that, like, I just want to focus on playing games and talking to people about playing games and the chokehold that this put the gaming industry in for this last week was annoying. And what drives me absolutely up the wall with it is now the conversation doesn't go from like, we have answers and now here's how we unpack it. It's now, what are the four games? And all the speculation until we get the announcement of the four games. I'm over it, but I know that's a part of the industry and you either like that type of stuff or you don't. And I know I love it on the movie side. I'm not pretending like I'm holier than thou or better or above it or anything like that. I'm not. I'm just saying that like, it's just annoying. And I'm just kind of like, I just want to focus on the games and people talking about the games they're enjoying playing and what they're getting out of them rather than all this industry shit. This has been a heavy year already. We're only, you know, this is the day after Valentine's Day. Yep. And we've already, like, all our gaming episodes have been about news related topics because that's how much stuff has already come out. And that's exciting in a year that we thought was going to be bleak compared to 2023. But I'm just like, I guess I'm getting a little fatigued on that aspect. Like, I want to still talk about games, but a little fatigued on the new stuff because so much becomes reactionary. So much is...
It gets away from why you fell in love with a hobby.
Yeah, and so much is the PR speak, and then also, like, everyone having their opinions and dissecting and debating, and then we get further away from, like, just actually enjoying games.
Yeah, because, like, we could talk about Jedi Survivor, and that would be, like, a great time, and that's, like, about a game itself, like, actually playing one, not this stuff. Josh, I want to make sure you finish your thought before I...
Yeah, no, I just say, I mean, but this is cool. I feel relieved, and, I mean, I don't mind this change at all. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are still very upset by this, and their feelings are completely valid and stuff, even if I don't, you know, feel the same way and align with that, but not trying to... too much pee-pee poo-poo, and it's just seeing that the internet went the way it did, all based off a rumor that turned out to not be real, goes to show why I think it's fun to not entirely dismiss stuff that some that a lot of people do too quickly, but then also not completely buy into these things being true. And just focus, keep your head down, and focus on the games you're enjoying playing. Not keep your head down, but you know what I mean? Like, just keep your head focused on enjoying what you enjoy and let this shit blow past, you know, because it just, like, it's gonna, there's gonna always be stuff like this, and it's, stuff is always gonna change. And it just, big picture, it just doesn't really matter. I'm here. I play games less, more like, less now than I ever have, and I'm still loving it. I'm still loving talking about it and looking forward to games. Last year I went through the same thing of like not playing a lot of games, but then I had a huge phase where I played through the entire Gears catalog, and then I went through and played Baldur's Gate and was playing other games and stuff like that. And yeah, I haven't beaten Baldur's Gate, but I've already put in over 100 hours, so it was a lot of time into it. And I know that's going to happen. It's just a renaissance waiting to come back, you know. But I'd just rather focus on that stuff, you know. I'd just rather focus on that, seeing the meltdown the internet had over this. And again, it turned out to not be true. It's different if it's like an official statement and then people react, talk about that for a week, and then yeah. But you know, it's just all a rumor. It's like, again, it's nice to talk about, but at the same time, let's move on and do some stuff with our lives. It's not like live in limbo until we get official word on this stuff, because then our lives aren't moving in any direction. So I don't know, a little fatigued on that aspect, but enjoying gaming nonetheless. And I will say, Brian, I am such a simp for when they show those brief little gaming montages that they did in this podcast, where you see those brief flashes of gaming. They're talking about Avowed. You see Avowed gameplay. Yeah. They're talking about all these, you know, and I'm like, I kind of want to go boot up my Xbox after this. That's exactly what it does that for me.
I thought you were going to say you were a simp for Sarah Bond, but that's a better direction, maybe.
She is very pretty, and I think she's very intelligent. I love like her being there for Xbox and stuff like that, you know. So
you got that school principal vibes.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, like, all, you know, like, attraction aside, I mean, you know, out of the three, she felt like the most PR speaky of the
she's the newest.
Yeah,
the
more inorganic, I should say. But she did a great job. Matt Booty did a great job. He was on the edge of his seat looking like he was ready to throw hands if Phil said the wrong thing. But at the same time, Phil was there with his, you know, jacket over his shirt.
I bet Phil had to take a mean shit after that. Well, like a sweaty mean shit.
Last thing I'll say is this probably is interesting for them, because I feel like on one hand they were probably thinking the whole time, like, yes, there's a small grain of truth to the rumors that have been out there, but we're going to feel so relieved and we can work this better to our advantage, because this is going to be so relieving to Xbox fans. They're thinking the absolute worst thing is going to happen. But at the same time, how is this news for the people that don't follow all those rumors that weren't conditioned for a week, who just focus on the official stuff? How are they going to take to it? And this is still a big jump and a big change. And I don't even think it's necessarily a big risk at all, but it's just, it's still a big thing. It just feels lesser than what it was going to be. So again, I'm relieved, but that's pretty much it. I'm just running circles at this point.
Quite a few things to say, but this will be my kind of my closing statement, and I'll pass it to Josh when we can get out of here. I would offer up this. I do think the sources for this stuff were very reliable sources. This wasn't just like any random person. This was Tom Warren of The Verge and Jeff Grubb, who have corroborated many, many, many things that have come true before. So even if you want to hate on those guys and say, oh, look, they were wrong here, they have not been wrong many times before. And I would go forth and say, I don't think they were so much wrong here as I think the rumors were based on truth, but not the whole truth. If you look at if you look at the games that were mentioned here, Starfield, Indiana Jones, and then there's the Gears of War, which is kind of an outlier. Let me explain how I look at this. Starfield and Indiana Jones, we know for a fact, were both in development for the PlayStation 5 before Microsoft acquired Bethesda. Those games were originally third-party titles. I guarantee there was discussions within Xbox on whether they bring Starfield and whether they bring Indiana Jones to the PlayStation or not. Those conversations most assuredly happened, and I'm sure Tom Warren, Jeff Grubb, whoever, heard through sources, through leaks, that that was up for consideration. Now, whether that consideration happened 6 months ago or 2 years ago is different, but I'm sure those guys heard credible sources that was based on truth. As far as the Gears of War thing goes with Jeff Grubb, I think Josh already said it better than I could. I think there's probably a Gears of War collection that is in the development. Whether that'll be an Xbox exclusive only or not, I'm not sure, but I think Josh makes a very good point that if they have had this Gears of War collection in the making for a while, would it not make a bunch of sense to release that on PS5, get this giant cross-play multiplayer? Like, you can play Gears, you can play any Gears game, and you can find just a wild amount of players anytime, because you now have like 100+ million potential player pool between PlayStation, PC, and Xbox. I think there's a very solid chance that Gears collection does exist, and that it is coming to PlayStation 5. Maybe not. That's possible it's not. But I think that's probably where Jeff Grubb is getting what he's taking out of this as well. And this is kind of where I want to move into my final statement here. This is a good moment for us. This is a triumphant moment. This was nice to see. It's relieving. I think we're happy. But I don't think people should shrug off what we just experienced. I don't think people should shrug off the rumors. I don't think people should shrug off the speculation and the concern, because I think this is indicative of what is really going to happen or is already slightly happening. Let's not forget, this did open with them saying, we are bringing 4 exclusive games to other platforms. That is happening. You know,
are you kind of saying that, like, so, once you take the slice of pizza out the box, you don't put it back in?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. And I mean, and this, I don't know if you knew this, Josh, but I know that this only blew up last week, but this whole entire thing started in the beginning of January with the rumor of Hi-Fi Rush coming to Switch. That's where it started. Then Sea of Thieves came out and people, but it didn't blow up till the start, the big heavy hitter names were mentioned. So everything we just experienced, I think, is very indicative of what is happening and what is going to happen. We will only see this, like, you don't start with these 4 titles from Xbox and then 10 years from now, we're down to 2 or down to none. It's not like if you guys think that, and I say you guys, that's just whoever's listening to this. If you think that there's any chance that Microsoft's going to release these 4 games and these 4 games are going to bring so many people to Xbox that the Xbox numbers will rise and then they'll go, okay, now we can stop putting games on other platforms. Never going to happen. It doesn't matter if the Xbox gained 40 million consoles sold. They're going to continue this going forward. And in the future, it's probably going to be more titles. And in the future, when we get to a point where it's really less about the boxes, we do have the streaming dongles or more integration of the cloud, more people are playing on their television sets or their phones, it could very likely get to a point where we're just flat out playing Xbox games anywhere. And that includes, you know, maybe a Halo 7 or 8 one day being on PS5. So I think many lessons are served here. Don't believe everything you hear until it's confirmed by who it's actually there. Don't freak out. Don't place your entire joy of life and video game information, because it's always going to let you down. Like Josh says, nothing changes quicker than freaking gaming. One day you think you can use a controller, you wake up the next day, you got to wear something on your foot to be able to play the game, and you're like, well, this sucks. And then the other thing is, there's a lot of truth in this. There's a lot of foreshadowing of what's to come, and be prepared, because I think that's happening. So I think this was a learning lesson for us all. I think that I think the future is going to be crazy for gaming, and I don't think it's going to get any easier. I don't think we just experienced the toughest moment of gaming over the next couple of years. We might not even experience the toughest moment of gaming this year. We're going to continue to be thrown left, right, and center in the industry, and it's either hold on tight or get out.
Yeah, man, well said. I could see it going two ways if I want to just go like pure black and white. Like, I could see this direction taking them to a point where if Xbox really starts, well, doesn't sell any more consoles, like there's not a huge increase, this doesn't really help them in a lot of ways. I could always see a future where this leads them to eventually doing the third-party stuff, going Sega style someday. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying in a darkest timeline, I could see that. The other hand, I could always see this on the good end. I could always just see this going the way it does, where a couple games here and there get rationed out to try to buy people in. As their exclusive library buys or builds up, then yeah, Eventually some of those games will seep out and try to, you know, go across, you know, to the other city, go from Gotham to some other place.
But I do want to interrupt, Josh, to give you more validity. You said Sega situation. I think we're, you know, and I didn't, this isn't my own original thought. Someone else said this in the past week and I'm stealing it. So I'm on the same page as you, Josh. I don't think we think outside the box enough. There's never going to be a Sega situation for Xbox, because if Xbox decided to go third party, we're talking about a giant profitable company with games people care about, and them choosing to pivot that way, right? This isn't, Sega lost. Sega made so many poor decisions, they had to bow out or their company was going to go under. That's never going to happen to Xbox. Xbox could make 300 more bad decisions and not even be close to running out of money. So if Xbox inevitably goes, quote-unquote, the way of Sega, it's going to be much stronger, right? It's going to be a proud business suit. We made this decision. This is where we're going, and we're in it for the long haul in a new way. Mm-hmm. It's not, Sega was very much like they took the
Sega.
Like, it wouldn't be taking the L as much from Xbox, but yeah.
You're probably right. I mean, what do I know? I mean, I'm only saying, theorizing that as a darkest timeline scenario or something like that. Like, when Bilbo looked into the pool, you know,
Frodo?
What did I say? Bilbo?
Bilbo.
It all blends together sometimes.
He was there in the extended cut.
But yeah. But yeah, when he looks in there and he sees the scouring of the Shire, man, you know, even though it didn't happen in the movies, it's a dark timeline that could have happened. But yeah I think on the good side, I don't think, like you said, I'd never say never on any of these games, but I would think it's safe for a long time at least that we won't see their big exclusives, because the clear plan right now is just to try to cast the net out and bring more people back in, as opposed to like just making it easier for people to not buy their own console but play their big games elsewhere. Like, there's a difference between like trying to make money with your certain games that you're putting out versus like trying to sell hardware. And I think this approach is still showing that they're trying to help expand their opportunities to sell hardware so people buy into that ecosystem, you know, rather than like, oh, hey, you can play Starfield on PlayStation. So then the PlayStation owner is going to say, well, I have no reason to go buy an Xbox because this is the only game I'm interested in. I'm only going to play it here. So whereas like for them, it's more of a backdoor pilot of like, hey, you like this? Come check out our other shit. You know, you like this food? Oh, I got this over there from this restaurant, you know, down 41st Street. So come check that shit out. But that's what I think it is. Pretty cool, though. Pretty relieved. And also, who gives a shit? I'm all over the place today. But it was still a fun time. And, you know, I'm excited for what's to come. I could be wrong, but I feel like this is the last, like, of that opening wave salvo of, like, gaming news until we get to the middle of the year now. Mm. We got Rebirth coming out here in just, like, what, 2 weeks? Yep. And some other stuff on the way, so.
We haven't got Nintendo yet. What's the big Nintendo thing? Who knows?
Yeah.
Watch, Josh. It'll be literally, like, 7 days from now, and it'll be Switch 2 announced, and none of your Switch games are backwards compatible, and it's dual screen. And then we'll have a new episode.
We'll
Josh
be here
be
to
like,
talk about it.
I hate gaming news.
Crazy, I know. Crazy. But yeah, this was fun, man. I still had a great time unpacking it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's it for the State of Xbox Part 2 here at Sacred Icon.
We should be back next week with Star Wars at some point.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have back to our regular scheduled programming.
Brian,
let's talk some Star Wars talk.
Can we shout out the patrons, man? I feel like we haven't done that in several episodes.
I think that's a great idea. Do you want me to shout them out, or are you pulling?
Yeah, you're better with it. You're better with it.
Okay. Yeah, let's get those patrons.
And thank you guys. The episodes have been so long lately. It's been a couple of these episodes we've had to record in like breaks, two different sessions and shit like that. But yeah. Appreciate the patronage as always. So Brian's bringing that up now. But Brian, if you had one like super negative thing to say that just sounded awful. I mean, it doesn't have to, but what's your takeaway? Like if you're someone who's just like, you know, like me who says, who gives a shit? There's the good side that's like looking at all these different perspectives. There's the other side that says, who cares? What are you saying?
Yeah, I like that you opened me up to that because I guess I can say something dickish then, which I haven't done yet this episode. Ultimately, I didn't give a shit what happened here either way. Well, that's not fair. I care. Like, I do care. I want Xbox to be in the game still. I want them to provide the competition. I also like my Xbox, despite me preferring my PlayStation anymore. So I did care. But what I mean by what I was about to say I didn't give a shit is I was going to play video games regardless of what information came out here, right? If Microsoft wants to put all their stuff on other consoles, if they wanted to leave the console market, I'm still going to play their games. I'm still going to play PlayStation. If PlayStation dipped out, I'd go to PC. I'd play my Switch. I am here because I'm passionate about gaming, and none of this news was going to change, that for me. So I feel like there's a lot of people out there who will be like, yeah, I don't really care. And the truth is they do care a lot. But I really didn't care on the grand scheme of things because I was still going to be gaming. You know, I don't need an Xbox to game. I would love to have an Xbox to game, you know. And also, like, you know, it's not even that I want PlayStation to, even though I prefer PlayStation more nowadays, it's not even that I want them to quote-unquote win. I want the next generation to be where I go out and buy a PS6 and a new Xbox. I want to keep buying these things. I want to support them. But I'm here for my passion, which is playing video games. I mean, of course, talking about them I'm passionate about too, but it's playing video games, and none of this was going to change that. So I don't know. Hopefully that kind of answers your question, Josh.
Yeah, no, that's a good enough answer. It's a good enough answer.
I'm having such trouble. Can you pull this up, Josh? I'm having such trouble.
I don't. I got signed out.
Yeah, I got signed out in the past.
If not, we'll make sure and get it in the next episode. I'll check real quick here. Let's see if I can bring this up. Patrons, patrons, patrons. Where are all the patrons? Man, I'm so used to you doing this. I don't even know where to look for it on here.
Well, you got to go to on the side where I'm logged out on my computer.
Oh, audience? Is it audience?
Audience, but make sure you have active set. You're going to list every person ever.
Active.
So, are you going to call them out?
Yeah. I'll run us through these. Let's see. Let me go. Right. Yeah.
Nope, you play me where you go. You play me. Josh, say, Brian, can you keep up with me?
All right. Well, we got a new one I don't think we've mentioned, but Jordan Poofer? I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that.
Poof, there he goes. All right, come on.
thank you so much. Darren, we got Trickster, Jacob Nyrene, Death Ghost, Installation 00, Boba's Feet, Diente de Hombre, Wesley Types, Sparkies, Hocus, Locust, William Green, Albino, I Irving TV, AJ's Dank, Evan Liao, Fallout 152, Ian Rucker. I say DeRuck. This time, Brian, what do you say?
I say, is that a truck?
Brian's like, I'm not going to say that word. Shin Rebel, Rising from the Ashes, He's Born Anew. Hit me with it, Brian. Hit me with that Rising from the Ashes.
Drum roll. Rising from the Ashes, Born Anew.
Irish Phoenix. That was pretty good. I like that. I got chills a little bit. The Dav, Jared Hartley, Small Printer, Buddy Joe, Aaron, Colton Pittman, Rodan, Butter My Waffles,
Original
David.
Staple.
Yeah, a.k.a. Nerva, Anthony Dorsey, Chris Greco. Brian, hit me with that Chris Greco.
Chris Greco, mega Greco, Visa Greco, Chris Greco. He says, I'm going to stay a patron as long as you guys keep saying that. And we missed it a couple weeks, so I really got to say it like two more times. Chris Greco, mega Greco, Visa Greco, Chris Greco, Chris Greco, mega Greco, Visa Greco, Chris Greco. Boom, there you go.
Ooh, that was beautiful. Tony, Mustard Chief, Aries 0430 with that mustache.
Oh, Josh, what? I mean, can you even see? I mean, when you're reading that?
I couldn't see any of the video at all.
I just heard. If I want to put on like an Apple Vision Pro and then watch the Wonder Woman movie and just see him like brush up against my face with his luscious stash.
I like how specific you got with the movie choice. Yeah. Montana Menace, Green Plumber, a.k.a. fucking Ouija, Josh, you big boy, Dustin Mondre, Bramola, Corey Hanks, Prey on Shu, MH Cosplay, Ian Mills, Photon, Duststorm.
Spicy Beam Lord.
Original
Halo podcaster.
Original Halo podcaster, Duststorm. The man who saw Justice League knew it needed more and said, hey, you know, James Gunn's putting out the DC stuff next year. You know, casting seems pretty good so far. Let's see how it goes. It's Matthew.
Would he have ever believed back when the first time we ever said on the podcast, you know, saw Justice League and knew it needed more, and the DCEU will be completely canceled. Insane, dude.
Poor Matthew. I don't see him. I don't get on Twitter as much, but I don't see him on there as much, so I wonder where his thoughts are with everything.
I talked to him a little bit, asking him some questions about DC a few weeks ago, but yeah, he's not on Twitter much anymore, which I think is a great thing. It's crazy. You meet these people online, and then you realize, oh, wait, we met over 4 years ago. Your life's probably changed a lot, just like mine, so who knows what you're up to. But, guys, that was State of Xbox Part 2.
Thank you, patrons, by the way. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much, patrons. You're the reason that we're here a lot of the time, and we really appreciate your support. We hope you feel good about Xbox and the industry as a whole. As always, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Sacred Icon Podcast. And as always, keep it sacred.